Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door, just like a Murillo Crossfield ball. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win? Only via the app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Danilo's free.
We've seen them attack them, and they're threatening. Well, that's what I wanted to see Robinson do. Taylor won, he scores, and the City ground goes ballistic.
He's through here, and in the end, Forrest will say it doesn't matter how you play, as long as you win it.
Yeah!
Forrest Taylor, Premier League.
For those watching live on YouTube or picking up on the later stream, that's the first time I've made an absolute guff doing this. Hello and welcome back to Red Star of the Trent, as we've had time to actually sleep on it, on the results of Forest's 1-0 defeat to Brighton and Hove Albion. Joining me to relive the moments of yesterday's Christian Brown and Matt Barnsley. Hello, boys. I hope we're all well and kind of in a mood to reflect negatively or positively, however you want to see it. But Matt, I'm going to start with yourself because you were the man on the ground for us. Several changes from the Liverpool side. Surprisingly, that Chris Wood returned and Danilo also replaced Callum Hudson-Odoi and Anthony Elanga, which left a lot of fans scratching their heads of what formation we might be playing and who might be playing where. But it was evidently clear that Divock Origi was playing out wide, Dominguez left, and Gibbs White in the middle of Danilo and Yates. What did you make of it? And was you left also scratching your head?
Yeah, I thought that it was I thought the team selection was very unorthodox from the get-go, really. I always think, like, particularly away from home when, and I think, I know Brighton have got their, have had their, obviously had the Europe and had a few injuries to tend with, but Brighton were always going to have a lot of the ball yesterday. And I always think when the opposition have a lot of the ball, particularly away from home, you need a bit of an out ball and someone with pace to ball carry. And obviously Elanga and Hudson-Odoi give you that. And also as well, more than anything, I thought, as you saw yesterday, as the game went on, that they became a bit ill-balanced, Brighton, maybe a bit fatigued as well, and really looked like we could get at them. But that really should have been the outset from the off, really. I think the game plan was very much to contain for an hour and put Elanga and Hudson-Odoi on against tired legs to try and win it. But that's all good and dandy if you don't concede a poor goal and an 18th set-piece goal, I think it is, of the season. So, yeah, it wasn't a very good watch. It was I've just said to a family member just now that it was a pretty poor Premier League game all round, really. But yeah, from my view, it wasn't great.
Yeah, I mean, Christian, you can add to the starting lineup thing, because I think it is a major talking point, because obviously so many questions have been asked of Nuno Espirito Santo and in that department as well. Why do you think he kind of went with that? Because I it's very, very puzzling that we've had a whole week to prepare. Brighton obviously had the unfortunate resulting week in the week to Roma, where they got absolutely destroyed, really, at the Olympico. It just really puzzled me that we didn't go with two out-and-out wingers. I know Origi kind of can play there, but for me, he's still not the best player there either.
I found it really weird. I mean, it was sort of like an experiment you'd see for a cup game, maybe. I think given the state of where we're at in the season and what's at stake, you know, we've only got 10 games left now, we shouldn't really be experimenting. I feel like most Forest fans know what our best team is. It's Sells in goal. On current form, it's Williams at right back and the Omarillo centre back. Tavares when he's fit, left back. Then you've got Sangare and Dominguez in midfield, Elanga on the right, Gibbs White through the middle, Hudson on the left, and Taiwo up front. That's your best team. We all know that that's our best team. So why deviate like that? I just find that, I mean, it's all well and good as well saying that, like, oh, you know, it's a good time to play Brighton, blah, 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 blah. You know, aside from the fact that the Charity FC gene kicked in well and truly, like, they haven't lost at home since September. They've only lost twice at home all season. Like, this wasn't going to be an easy game. And, like, you know, it's very obvious why they would have booked his favourite before the game. And I think some of the data nerds, even despite the fatigue and injuries they had, had them at, like, 52% on, like, the win this thing. So it was like, that was before the ball was kicked. So, you know, it was never going to be easy. So why Jane, go away from your best team against what's going to be a very difficult game? I just find it so odd. It was it gave me shades of, obviously, seeing as Matt mentioned a shirt from the ill-fated 1920 season. It gave me shades of Lamucci against Charlton, to be honest, when he just changed the team completely, when we had a lot of momentum and just bombed. And yeah, I don't get why he did it. And we'll come on to the incident in due course, I'm sure, which would have changed a lot during the match. But for me, you should be as furious at that as you should be at Nuno for picking a team that wasn't able to win.
I mean, the start, guys, I thought we were quite good. We seemed to get on the front foot, kind of press Brighton from the top of the pitch, really. And we had some good little moments, some nearly moments. And then Brighton kind of got into it and built a lot of momentum, lots of set pieces. And we seemed to be defending them pretty well. But until the one that actually ended up going in, and I don't even think half the ground knew the ball had gone in, Matt. What was your thoughts on it overall? Strange.
Yeah,
ball.
I agree. I completely agree with everything Christy's just said. I've just listened, and sorry guys, without promoting another podcast, I've been listening to that. Is it the Forest Focus this afternoon? I've been listening to Calvin Wilson, and I thought he said it's kind of similar on a conversation of what Christian's just said, saying we're not in a position in the league to be able to experiment and to be able to, like, drop our best players. Now, for me, particularly in terms of, like, an attacking foray, you would put Elanga and Hudson-Odoi within that front four to obviously to give us the best chance of scoring goals and winning football matches. And to not really put our best foot forward with trying to win the game yesterday. Yes, completely agree. Brighton have, I think, what, they 11-12 unbeaten. It was always going to be, even with the mitigating circumstances, it's always still going to be a tall order to go there and win. But because of their situation, you kind of felt that we might have gone a bit more on the front foot from the get-go and to with the team to I just didn't really understand it, to be honest with you. And I thought as the game wore on, it became more and more illogical, and it just looked disjointed and ill-balanced. And I completely agree. We did, for particularly the opening 10 minutes, I think we forced a corner or so and we got in some good areas, but I never really felt in that first half that we were going to score all really in the full 90 minutes, to be honest with you. So yeah, it wasn't really very good at all.
What was your thoughts on the goal, Matt? It's just a strange goal to concede.
Do you know what, boys? And I'm really sorry. It's like, you can tell, I've done my book, because with Forest, because it's like, because so much, particularly with the set pieces, and I feel like we're all in the same boat. It's so, at this point, with the amount of set piece goals that we're conceding, it's so infuriating. I can't watch it back because it just angers me more. But from what I obviously saw with my own eyes, my initial reaction was that Sales has got to do better. I just thought it just looked weak all round. We gave away a poor free kick on that side to concede the free kick in the first place. It was a bit of like a floaty ball, and it just, like everybody in a Forest shirt, was quite indecisive, and it just kind of ended up in the net really. And it was just. In a season where we've just conceded so many soft goals, I just felt that was just another one to add to the collection, really.
Yeah, I mean, we've not had this one on the bingo cards for a while, Christian, but we rolled over in that instance and had our bellies tickled from that set piece. Because for me, if you're a commanding goalkeeper, like I think Matt Sells could be or can be and has been maybe at Strasbourg, he just clears Andy Howe out, really, and takes the ball. For me, I think it's such a howler from both of them, really, because Andy O should maybe take some command into heading the ball away, and Selwyn maybe should come and take some control, just claiming the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I did think the keeper maybe could have caught that, to be honest, like, to just go through, take whatever. Because even that in a situation, say Andy O stays down, then it's chance gone anyway, because he's going to have to tend to him. Or unless, you know, we're tall tin, he's ref, and he decides that we have a drop ball there and then for Brighton. But I just felt that, you know, it was just, it was interesting seeing Shane Given say as well that he thought that it was Sells at fault. I mean, I largely felt, I mean, Sells before that made a pretty good save from a set piece. Again, almost identical to the goal, really, from the other side, I think, where he sort of parried it like out. So, but yeah, it's weird because when I first saw it, I thought, okay, it looks like an awkward collision. But then, you know, you see the angles and obviously you hear the pros and experts and fair enough. You have to say, if a goalkeeper's going to say Givens come out and say something like that, you probably do feel more inclined to say maybe Sells is at fault. But yeah, it's just frustrating. So I think the more pertinent issue, I'm just trying to find it here, is just, I think that we've, only Sheffield United have committed more fouls in their own final third than Forest. And given what we've done from set pieces this season, how bad we've been defending them, that's the 18th goal this season we've conceded from a set piece. Like, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot here. And this is why, like, you know, I'm not at all, obviously, I know he hasn't been involved. I think it was Andy only getting fouled away, I think, for the free kick. But, you know, we do this so frequently. And this is why, like, you know, if people do get frustrated with Yates, because it's all well and good saying, like, oh, you know, he wins a lot of fouls. He also gives away a lot of fouls. And, like, you know, you look at a Newcastle game, for example, it was his foul that gave up for the second goal. He gave that away. And it's just something that we really, really need to, like, stamp on and, you know, cut out. Because I feel like there's a lot of people that say that we haven't progressed on Nuno. I find that's ridiculous. I do think he should be under considerable pressure at this point because, depending on how your glass is half full or half empty, it's either we've won 3-10 or we've won 1-8. So if we lose against Luton, the knives will probably be out and fairly so, you'd have to say. But, like, I just feel like we've become so good in open play at stopping teams from scoring goals, but from set pieces we just keep doing it. I don't understand what they're doing on the training field. I don't understand how we can have a set piece coach and how we can have, like, a new set of eyes. And we've had the same problems all season. Like, so at that point you start looking at the players. Are you physically incapable of defending a set piece? Is that what we've come down to? Premier League footballer unable to clear a ball. So it's hugely frustrating and it's not going to get any better until someone finds a way to sort that.
Do you know what I was going to say? Just following on from what Christian said. Sorry, Ad, for interrupting, really sorry. I'm just following on from what Christian said it's like what I find even more kind of baffling and where this Forest team blows so hot and cold. Now, I actually thought my biggest concern going into that Liverpool game last Saturday was Van Dijk off the set pieces. Now, I felt overall last Saturday against one of the best, probably one of the most potent, maybe centre-halves. I might be chatting complete nonsense with that. But from what I see, one of the most kind of aerial threats in the Premier League from a centre-back. Van Dijk's obviously right up there. And I thought last Saturday, I thought Murillo and Omodomabelli and Yates, they all dealt with that very, very well. And Liverpool had numerous set pieces. So we went from that to yesterday, it just looked like we reverted to type again. And I don't know whether it's a coaching thing. Ever since we've been in the Premier League, probably barring the last five or six games of last season, I've always used the word in-game management. And I don't think we've managed games very well at all. No, and Christian's just said things like with Yates as well and giving away like little niggly free kicks, which in the Championship, maybe the consequences aren't so severe for that. But in this league, when the quality is so high, you just get punished and you can't afford to do it.
Going on from what you just said as well, like against Arsenal, we've seen Arsenal are so efficient at set pieces this season. Yeah, they couldn't beat Montiel at near post. I think 5 out of 7, I think he had a clear that night again when we lost 2-1 to them. And even then, that was a loss because of a goalkeeping howler. So it's just so erratic. Like you get so inconsistent. One week, Forest are fine defending set pieces. The other week, they're a total car crash at defending set pieces. It shouldn't be that inconsistent the players have got. It really shouldn't.
You can kind of hold your hands up if the deliveries are exceptional, like a Ward-Prowse delivery or a Trent delivery. Like you can kind of like go, well, hold your hands up. It's an amazing set piece. But half the time, they're like little tricklers. Like ones that like they just completely bamboozle us. But I just wanted to get your guys' overall opinion for the game overall and maybe the rest of it because we didn't create loads and loads of chances. I think Ward maybe had our best chance, and even that was. He did well to get it on target, really. But we seem to really lack a flow of anything. Our passing was absolutely abysmal. I thought the likes of Danilo, Dominguez, Yates, Toffolo, even Nico Williams, everyone was just so... There was like a whole lack of respect for each other in terms of how to pass a ball to one another. And it was like so poor. We looked like a League One or a League Two side team at times, I thought. What was your thoughts in the ground, Matt?
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Ad. I thought it was it just looked a disjointed mess. We go from kind of thinking that there's, and sorry, I don't want to keep using the Liverpool game as a bastard. The bottom line is we lost that game, but I just thought last week it looked organised, it looked structured. They did the defensive aspect right. They had an out ball. They looked a threat on the break. So we went from that to yesterday, as you say, it was all just disjointed. They couldn't put 3, 4, 5 passes moved together. I know, obviously, we'll go on to it with Nico Williams and the red card, but I've got to be honest with you. What was that, 67, 68 minutes? I'm not overly convinced, and Christian and yourself, Ad, might agree with me. I'm not overly convinced that even if they do go down to 10 men, that we equalise. I'm not convinced that transpires just because of the way that the game was and our lack of clinicalness in the final third. That final ball, it just wasn't forthcoming all afternoon, and we never looked like we were going to put the ball in the net.
Christian,
the only thing I will say, I mean, it would have given us half an hour because it was 6 minutes too long. So half an hour against 10 men. And obviously, we know full well Forest's run against 10 men has been pretty well documented. It's been horrific at times. Apart from the West Ham game, where we actually did manage to score eventually. I don't think we've had, you know, we've not, obviously against Newcastle, we didn't, if I remember rightly, did we have something from that game? No, I think entirely. But we've generally not, you know, I'm just looking through Nuno's little run now. And I think the only game we've had, they've had someone sent off in was the West Ham game, and we scored.
Bournemouth,
yeah, of course, yeah. But that came like with 5 minutes to go, didn't it? Something silly. I mean, Clive actually been sent off in 5 minutes, second half, but that's another matter. So it's difficult to say. I feel like under Cooper, we wouldn't have scored because we saw time and time again, like in the Brighton game, in the biggest example, where we had 20, 25 minutes, put some serious pressure on 3-2 and didn't do anything in the home game. So it's hard to say, but I mean, the way we were playing, probably not. I mean, it was a 0-0 game. Like, that's what's the most annoying thing. It was a 0-0 game. Like, and you have to give credit to Brighton. They defended well. Dunk especially played very well, I thought. And, you know, obviously he's got a lot of praise in the media and a lot of people saying he should be in the plane to the Euros, and fair enough. Like, but we've lost a 0-0. That's what it's come down to. It was two teams who defended well in open play and didn't really create a lot, I think. Apart from that one save Sells made from set piece, I don't think he had anything else to do. And like you said, apart from that one chance that Wood had, which actually did very well to get that on target, I don't think we created much else either. We should have done. I maintain that Origi is incredibly guilty of that. More the first one than the second. And the second one, he has to try and get on target at least to blaze it over the stand and put it into one of the train tracks behind the back of the Amex, which is a joke. But the had he squared that to Woods, we'd probably go in level half time and it probably stays a draw, I'd say. So, because, yeah, it's frustrating. It's fair. Like I said, we've lost a 0-0. That's the key take from it, really.
Yeah. I mean, for me, the decision-making was utterly poor. Like, the amount of times where a midfielder tried to thread a ball through the eye of a needle rather than give a simple five-yard pass, which actually would open up the game more, didn't happen enough for me. I thought, you were relying on Gibbs White to create something out of nothing, and he did create three chances essentially. I thought the pass to Wood was exceptional. I thought was really good crossing from him, and you want him to do that a little bit more. But I also thought the biggest culprits were Nico Williams and Harry Toffolo from wide areas. Their ability to cut back and actually look up and pick a pass out this season, not even just yesterday, has been largely very below par, unfortunately. And I do think we're actually missing Nuno Tavares at left back, weirdly. Yeah. I never thought I'd ever say that. Everyone was so happy to see Chris Wood back in the lineup yesterday. We never would have said that at the start of the season. It just goes to show, like, actually getting a run in the team and having like a bit of like of a routine, a bit of a flow and a way of like connecting with the rest of the team does actually really go a long, long way. And I'm really hoping, because we've got to play this player, that Ibrahim Sangare will get the same. Because if he can hit the ground running the last 10 games, by the end of the season, we could think, well, what a signing he was. If we stay up and he ends up having a good 7-8 good games out of that.
Sangare did two passes within 2 minutes coming on that was better than the entire midfield combined for the 65 minutes on the pitch.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so, even though he looked very, very rusty, I agree with you.
Yeah, he had the one where he kind of bent it, and Nico Williams couldn't get right on the end of it. And the lad behind me said that if that would have been in AFCON on dry African pitches, that would have been a great ball, because it was West of Gamet, it skipped on. But just got following on from what Christian was saying as well, and just going over kind of some of the final balls, there was it really frustrated me yesterday. There was two or three occasions in the second half where Nico Williams got down that right-hand side and did really well to get away down the right-hand side to beat his man or to cut in. It was like he couldn't get the ball off the floor. It's like a final ball into the box. It was rolled along the floor at pace, and it was just so easy to defend. I suppose that's going on to the debate of kind of going on to the final third and where we're obviously lacking. I completely agree with Sangara. I think that he's obviously had a Forest career so far, which has been pretty par, but I think that's been broken up because of injury struggles that he had. And then when he did look like he was getting into gear for that away win at St James's Park, he then missed that Man United game, I think, through an injury, and then he went to AFCON. So he's not had any rhythm whilst being in a Forest shirt. So if he can get up to fitness, get up to speed, I think he could be a big player for us. Because I think there's a player in there. I know, obviously, we as a fan base, we like to write people off from the get-go, as many people have done with Nuno Tavares. And I completely agree with you, Ad, that think he's been a miss for us, because he gives us that option down that left-hand side, that offensive option as well as defensively. But I just think it's a case of that players need to kind of play their way into form at the right time, as they did at the back end of last season, to really help our cause.
Definitely, I'm in agreement with you there, Matt. We've got to address the elephant in the room, because as I've named the pod, it's happened again. VAR and refs are royally giving us the runaround this season, and even Brighton fans have admitted that Jacob Moda is a very, very lucky boy to not be sent off. Christian, having seen the incident, probably in real time watching it, and probably multiple replays, how have VAR watched that multiple times and not sent him off, or at least sent the ref, at least not sent Michael Salisbury to the monitor and go, you know, I'm keeping my decision.
It's bad enough that he didn't see it in the grounds, the ref, to be honest. Like, he's the closest man to it. He's not. At what point do you stop saying it's incompetence and start saying it's more? Because, like, this is ridiculous. This is now the fifth absolute shocker we've had in the last 6 weeks. Like, the only game was unaffected by refereeing drama was a Villa game. We got smacked in that anyway. So it's like, can't win either way. I saw someone say that it's getting very hard to think now that we're being punished for having Clattenburg in. But I mean, because I just can't, like, if you go through, like, I don't know, refereeing school, whatever else, like, and you show someone, you show the class of students, whatever, what is this? They'll say, he's lunged in. No, he's off the floor. He's made no contact with the ball and taken the player. It's a red card. Like, that is your textbook red card. And yet, somehow, despite the referee not seeing it, VAR not seeing it, it's still not a red. It fries my head. I mean, that is as bad as the body one against Bournemouth. Because by law, that is a red card. And they've actually gone against the law to, you know, somehow defer it. I don't see the point. Like, and I'm glad that, you know, obviously you can use a deflection tactic. I mean, I fully believe that if you're blaming the referee for a result, you haven't done enough in the game. And those who follow me on Twitter might think that's a little hypocritical, going how I said about Paul Tierney last week. But ultimately, that was a 90th minute, slightly different. But by and large, if you're saying the referee's decision over the course of a game has cost you a result, you haven't done enough in it. But that is also true for yesterday, because we didn't do enough. And it wouldn't. I kind of agree. Would it have changed too much? We've gone out of 10, maybe, because we were in tendency a little bit at that point. So you never know, because we're the best players on the pitch. Funny that, but I just can't. I cannot get my head around how that isn't a red card. I think if that's any other club, and it wouldn't have mattered if that was against Liverpool at Anfield in the 99th minute. It wouldn't have mattered if that was a Bernabeu against Real Madrid at the same time, or any of these other big clubs where, you know, the pressure on referees is so heavy, it's a red card if it's against a team that's, you know, the home side in that situation. I cannot believe that hasn't been given. I just can't get my head around it. It's a shocking decision. We seem to get it every week now, and, you know, I'm glad that Nuno and Gibbs-White and Chris Wood spoke out about it and said how ridiculous it's getting, because it's just the narrative has been, oh, you know, when it happened to Wolves, it was, oh, poor Wolves, that's really sad. And, you know, I hope it gets better for them soon. When Forest did it, even before Clattenburg got there, it was just ridicule, open ridicule. It was like, oh, you know, what are Forest moaning about again? How did they get promoted from a VAR error? Like, all this kind of nonsense. It's just like, so, okay, right. I just, yeah, I'm just baffled, completely baffled. I'm fed up talking every single week about a diabolical referee. Rip it up, start again, get referees in from abroad, get VAR specialists who stay the hell away from the referees at all times, but isn't the boys' club, so they can be independent in their decision-making, and just sack it off. Anthony Taylor wouldn't be a Bundesliga 3 referee if he worked in Germany. He's in a top percentage of UK refs. It's how the standards have dropped. It's so bad. So bad.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Do you know what? Yesterday is the first time that I've really thought, I'm not really one to, I don't want to start going down conspiracy theories in that route because it's a bit treacherous ground, but I don't know whether somebody wants us relegated this season, just because it begins to come across like that. Because how on earth? Because if the referee hasn't seen it, if either his view's a bit blindsided or it's real time and he hasn't seen it, so he brandishes the yellow card on field, I can accept that. But at Stockley Park, they can look at it from about six different angles. And what world did? Who was the VAR official yesterday?
Craig Pawson.
In what world did Craig Pawson look at that and think yellow card, stay with your on-field decision? It's literally in the laws of the game. Is both feet are off the floor and he's gone up, studs up on, and he's hit Nico Williams' eye on his ankle. It's not even fine line. It's just so clear cut in the laws of the game that it's a red card, and that puts my mind down so many routes that just. I just think people want us relegated this season. The Premier League want us gone. And that's just how it's beginning to seem to me, because it's just like, it's so coincidental. I mean, I don't want to go off on tangents, but it's just like the Bolly thing is up on Twitter the other day. The Bolly sending off is the worst decision I've ever seen in a football ground. We have the Nico Williams one at West Ham. Admittedly, it didn't matter, but it might have, where it's just... It's so clear cut. It's a penalty. I can't get my head around some of the decisions that have gone against us, because it's not even like they're not even marginal. It's so clear cut. The Tyrell one's a bit against Newcastle. It's a penalty, but it's one of them. But the rest of it's just so clear cut. I can't get my head around how it's not been given.
I completely understand your viewpoint, Christian, about if you're blaming the referees and you've not won the game, you've not done enough or whatever, if that's what you're finding your excuse. But also, these things do help change momentum and change the way games could potentially go. So it's one of them. But equally, I just think, I mean, I might start maybe like searching on Twitter to find the Everton fan who got maybe a good print deal for corruption cards or something, like to start brandishing around the City Ground and away grounds and whatnot. But yeah, at the end of the day, it was other than the bad referee decision, it was a poor performance from Forest. It was poor from Nuno. No one can really hold their hands up and say they had a really good game, in my honest opinion. I think everyone was like a six or lower, in my opinion. I don't know what you guys think, but we'll get onto some player performances. But before that, we will do some slept on it thoughts, and I will press the right button this time.
Red side of the Trent. Slept on it thoughts.
All Thank you as ever if you got these into us with raw emotion or actually slept on it. But let's start with Alex Oates, friend of the pod. Nuno's lineup was shocking, tactically void of thinking. Again, yet another huge refereeing decision goes against us, but it's okay because we'll write a letter to saying it's not good enough. Jeffro, team selection was bizarre, as was the decision to bring Morgan Gibbs-White off for Kiate, which we haven't actually mentioned. That was very bizarre. Ref at the centre of a discussion as always. How is that not a red? But we didn't help ourselves when it came to actually trying to get forward in positions, which we have said. Relegation form. Ian, pathetic, spineless performances. His so-called manager manager taking us down, which is unforgivable with the teams this year. Team selection last two away games is beyond baffling. They was there for the taking today, and he started that lineup. Get him out before it's too late. Had enough. Not sure if I agree with that personally. Grant Fellow's starting lineup was more to contain them than to get at them. Formation was all wrong. Toff actually did very well first half as he was doubled up on for about 45 minutes. Second half was better, but really I had a couple of chances. Taking Morgan Gibbs-White off for Kiate was just bizarre. Ref with a poo emoji. James Bradshaw, terrible game management again. 6 minutes of injury time wasted. Same mistakes every week. Paul, getting bored of blaming the ref and VAR now. All clubs can claim things that go against them. Gibbs-White is a big player for us, but he needs to let others take the set pieces and corners. He'd be more used to us in the box. I was in the top one. We've had some decisions go against us this season, but that's not the real reason where we are. For the most part, we've been poor all season. Points deduction or not, anything but a win against Luton, and I think we are down. And if that's the case, we deserve to be. Agreed. BJ Crabtree, I hope the team is listening. Stop listening to the whining about refs and VAR. Those are excuses. We played like a team that is too comfortable in the table. Team choice was soft, and so was the effort. Absolute head scratcher, but we'll hear about red cards and cheating. Tired. Sam, it's not looking good. BCP, time to ask the uncomfortable question, are our players really good enough? I'm going to end the Slept On It thoughts with that question, actually. So thank you very much for getting in touch. If I've not read them out, I do apologise. There's loads to go through. But just on that one from BCP, are we good enough, Matt? Or have we all been living in a fantasy land?
I think they're good enough to be above the current bottom three, man for man. In terms of I mean the bottom line is, I was saying to somebody earlier, it's the bottom line is they've won is it six games this season? And that's that kind of says it all really. Realistically, we are just a lower half Premier League team, so you kind of gotta curve your ambition a bit. But the plus side to that is I think they're better than what they've shown, but I think it is probably a group of players which is probably somewhere between, I don't know, fifth, sixth from bottom in the league. But they're definitely better than man for man. I know obviously football's not always played for on paper, and it's not like there's a lot more to it than just like individual quality on a man-to-man basis. But I think they've shown, you look at the West Ham game where I thought they were good, you look at the Liverpool game where I thought they were good, I thought they did okay at Bournemouth. So I think there's individual talent there, and when it does come together, I think Forest are a half-decent team, particularly offensively. But to answer the initial question, I think they're not good. People like to try and like hype us up to be something we're not, which I completely think is quite often the case with us as a fan base. But the flip side to that is I think they're better than what the current bottom three are. It just needs to be shown on a consistent basis and a clinical edge, and it all needs to come together, really.
Yeah. Christian, what are your thoughts? Because although there's lots of good points that Matt's just made and what people might say on social media, you kind of have to kind of take a step back and look at our team. That I think Matt Sells and maybe Chris Wood are the only players that are over 30. Everyone else is really, really young in our team that start on a regular basis. That maybe has something to do with it a little bit.
I mean, yes and no. But if you look at the players we've got, I mean, you know, I could be completely wrong in saying this, but I'm pretty sure Toffolo would have been captain of Huddersfield maybe at one point. I feel Williams as captain Wales before. Again, I could be completely wrong here. I feel like Sangare might have been captain material a few times at either PSV or Ivory Coasts. You know, obviously, Hudson-Odoi and Langer wouldn't have done. Gibbs-White's been captain for a long time. So it's not like we're short of leaders or players who haven't. Nia Carter as well, captain at Mines before he came. It's not like we're short of leadership or players who are willing to step up. It's just silly mistakes. I mean, that ultimately does come down to player quality. But on the whole, do I think we're good enough to stay up? Yes. Will we? I don't know. I mean, if you ask Leicester fans last season or Leeds fans or Southampton fans, all they will say that we've got a good enough team to stay up. Will we do it? It's another matter. So it's very difficult to say. I mean, it's a concerning situation at the minute. I feel like we need a result pretty quickly to sort of stem the tide a little bit and stop this sort of like doom mongering, because it's very easy to get into a trap when you're losing games. And I think it doesn't help that obviously we've lost the last, two league games. But I mean, it just feels like obviously last week, Villa, Liverpool, and Brighton. I mean, even that run, Villa, Liverpool, and Brighton, realistically, how many points were we expected to take from that? You might have said one, two at a push, realistically. Yeah. Or if you're looking at it objectively from paper, you say, on a balance of play, you're playing a team that's fourth, you're playing a team that's likely to win, or possibly to win the title, and you're playing a team that's in Europe who have only lost two home games all season, one of which is in September. Like, realistically, you're looking at 2 points from those games. And reality is, we should have got a point at Liverpool. We probably should have got a point yesterday. Okay, and even against Brighton and Villa, we could have a great chance to make it 3-3 with Elanga before he flashed it wide. So we've been competitive in all these games, despite, like, you know, despite the bigger picture. Last week, obviously, was a colossal kick in the balls. It felt like, you know, a firing squad just ran up and booted us in the balls completely after what happened, in the manner of it as well. So naturally, you're going to feel awful after that. Yesterday, we lost a 0-0. It's incredibly frustrating. But you have to remember as well, if you look at who we played since Nuno's come in. I'll get the list up here. So
I think majority of them have been top 10, haven't they? Yeah. I think Bournemouth and Brentford have been the only teams.
Bournemouth and Brentford are the only two teams that have been out of the top 10. And, you know, we've beaten Newcastle away somehow. We beat United at home, beat West Ham at home. You know, still going very strong in Europe. But for a refereeing decision, probably take the lead against Newcastle, maybe win that. We're a goalkeeping error away from getting a draw at Arsenal. You know, a goalkeeping error away from getting a draw at Brentford. We're not getting tanks in these games. It's individual mistakes. And so, you know, I mean, it's just so frustrating that with the games we've got to come against the teams that are beneath us or around us. So Luton, Sheffield United, Everton, Burnley, you know, all these, even Palace. Yeah. Two of those are at home, or one of those at home. Like, that's the frustrating part. We burned those cards when we were given them early in the season. Like, and we really, like, that's what's gonna like bite us on the arse if we do go down. But the fact we've been so close in these games suggests that there's definite room for improvement, and it's also cause for optimism. I suppose that's the way I'm going to look at it. It's cause for optimism, because it'd be very easy for me to say here, we're going to get tanks and go down, and I understand that's how a lot of fans are probably feeling at the minute as well. But if you look at who we're playing, we're not actually getting battered. Like, think back to last season, for example. We had, you know, we're going away every week, and it felt like it was a case of how many were the opposition going to score, even when we tightened up. And I'll look at it now where, you know, we're very much in games. It's just not getting rubber to green. At some point, that's going to have to change. We are going to get a lot. We've had enough bad luck to last three seasons and last six games. So at some point, that will have to change. And I do think, you know, with what we've got to come, okay, you know, the next three games, I don't want to jinx this, with Luton away, Palace at home and Fulham at home, it's not insurmountable that we get 9 points in those games.
Yeah, agreed.
And then suddenly everyone goes, oh, what are we worrying about? And then let's get back on Europe. And then we'll lose at Spurs. And, oh, we're going down again. Like, you know, our fans are very reactionary. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just keeping your heads, really. I mean, at this moment in time, we're out the relegation zone. Hopefully, we stay that way before the international break. Obviously, points to touch depending, but. Yeah, I don't think it's as bad as I'm making out it is. It's just frustrating, because I think when you get so close to winning and so close to taking points and then don't, it feels deflating, because it's like, what more can you do? But I don't think we're far away from cracking it. And I hope to God it comes before the end of the season, because we're going to need it to.
It's funny, the season, we could have definitely been like the draw specialist this year.
Yeah,
if we hadn't made so
really
many
could have done. Yeah,
we could have been like that team where they go, well, if they convert a few more of these wins, they'll really push for a European spot.
Absolutely.
Instead, we're going the opposite way, unfortunately. I'm not going to talk about player performances, because I'm that angry about a lot of them. I can't be bothered. So we're going to move on. But we're going to find out on Friday, Matt, I think it is, what our points deduction may well be. Do you think that's had an impact on the team at all? Because it must do, because you kind of don't know where you're sitting. But at the same time, the table doesn't lie. We're 17th for a reason. So surely you should know that you've got to start winning some games, whether you've got a points deduction or not.
Do you know what? I was actually thinking about this earlier this morning, and I thought that I obviously said with a mass amount of hindsight, I'd absolutely be curious to know what our trajectory would have been like under Nuno. So, because we had the great Christmas, we beat Newcastle away, we beat Man United at home, and then was it the 2nd or 3rd of January we had the exclusive that Forest were probably going to breach FFP, and then, of course, it got confirmed later on. So, and I think the pending FFP charge has created a lot of uncertainty, and I think that an element of that probably has seeped into our performances and to the players, because I think we don't really know where we stand. I think you're looking at precedents, and I know obviously FFP is a big complex picture, and I'm certainly not an accountant, neither am I an expert in it, but you look at precedents and you look at Everton, and I think that's probably, I know their case is very different to ours, and no one's been more vocal of that on social media than me, but you look at, I think we'll be looking at 3 to 6 points. So for me, worst case, it'll be 6, and we've currently got we're 3 points from safety behind Luton. That's very much my mindset towards it. But yeah, I'm not sure. I can't say, obviously it's so difficult to say, but I would be very curious to know what our trajectory would have been had we had this FFP stuff not had been looming over us. Because I would say that there might be a reasonable possibility we might have 5 or 6 more points on the board and be pretty comfortable. So to answer your initial question, Ad, I don't think it's helped at all, because it's natural, because it's just created so much uncertainty, because we don't know what we need in terms of our standing, what our current points total actually is, incorporating any potential deductions is created an uncertainty, which is completely understandable. I certainly don't think it's been a help. I think it's been a hindrance, if anything.
Well, Christian, I'm hoping that we find out what's happened and we kind of get a bit of a siege mentality, similar to what Everton did, where they went on one and they won like 4 or 5 of the next games. And I mean, if that happens, then we're going to win against Luton. We'll beat Fulham and Palace at home. We'll beat Spurs away, and that would be bloody lovely. Going into the Luton game, let's get into that. What do you make of that game, first of all? Who are you looking that you think that you might bring out from the cold? Like, people have mentioned Willy Bolly in the comments, quite rightly so, for his aerial abilities, and we know Luton like to put the ball in the box with Adebayo, who I think is still possibly injured, but Colton Morris especially is a threat. I watched their highlights, and Palace should have been out of sight, in my honest opinion. They had so many chances to kill that game off, but as the football always proves, that if you don't take all your chances, and a team can definitely punish you. And it was a great ball from Andros Townsend, a great little flick from Corley Woodrow. But it kind of gave me a little bit of confidence that we can get something out of the Luton game, rightly so as well, because we have got a good side on paper, but nothing's won on there.
No, of course not. Just going on from what I was saying, by the way. So in normal time, we've won one game since that charge was announced. So right. I do think it probably has had more of an impact than the Forest team letting on, because that's, you can look at refereeing decisions and how that's changed things and whatever else. And to a degree, that's fair enough. But that's quite a telling stat. We've won one game in 3 months since that charge has been announced. So, I think obviously there is a massive, I think hopefully, and maybe we look at how we get on afterwards, but it's going to be a long road to go. As for, Saturday. I mean, the optimist in me says that we could get even a 6-point deduction and still be out of relegation zone, depending on how results go this week. Because if Luton lose to Bournemouth and then we beat them, I think we'd go above them on goal difference, even despite getting a 6-point deduction. So that's assuming it's bad as 6. I mean, it could be suspended, it could be 2, it could be, we don't know yet. Well, hopefully we'll find out this week. But we will find out this week, find out by Friday at the very latest. But so I think, according to the data nerds, Luton are the worst defence in the league in terms of shots conceded and chances conceded. I think so from that perspective, you have to play your best team. You have to get, Elanga, Hudson-Odoi, whether it's Wood or Awoni, I'm not too fussed at this point. Bear in mind, Awoni doesn't look fully fit yet, but you have played one of those two, has to start. And I don't want to see, I'd rather not play Origi, to be honest. I don't think he's done enough. His shooting yesterday was just diabolical. I mean, like, the rest of his play was fine, actually. He was pretty handy at, like, keeping the ball in the right wing and finding space and finding feet and that. And, like, but no, in front of goal, how has he scored so many crucial goals in, like, Champions League finals and stuff like that? It's bizarre. But I don't know. It's going to be hard. I mean, Luton have this tendency of conceding a lot of goals, but also showing a lot of fight. I don't think we're lacking fight, but we are going to need to battle and battle hard at their place. That's where it's going to be won or lost. So I put Sangare in as well, because he's basically, yeah.
Would you bring Willy Bolly back in into the central defence?
Yeah, I think partner Murillo.
For the experience. Yeah, you know, I know we said last week about how annoying it is to keep chopping and changing the team, the back two especially, but I think for his experience and his aerial and physical
massive
prowess,
head.
Yeah, massive head. I think bringing Bolly back in wouldn't be the worst idea. I don't think, you know, also when we played them this season, like, we marshaled Morris so well, I think, for until we...
Oh, Murillo had him in his pocket, and then did Murillo go off in that game?
No, it was Bolly went off.
Wow.
Bolly went off, yeah. Until that implosion. But, I don't know. I've got a horror... I'm sort of torn in regards to the scoreline. It's one of those that if I was putting an accumulator on, I would go nowhere near this game, put it that way. I don't think the results have told this true story of how our form has been, but it is the exact sort of game Forest would typically lose. You know, muck and nettles, small pitch, up in your face, a team that brings you down to their level. Because for the great, that's what they've done, and I don't mean that disparagingly to Luton. That's how they've been successful. They get in teams' faces, they bring them down to their level, they take away their technical ability, they make them fight, and they know they can win a fist fight. And that's how they've got their points this season, Luton. They've played some nice stuff along the way, but that is a premise, that is a bedrock of how they've done. So, you know, the set piece situation is always going to be a concern as well.
I think it's imperative we stop Ross Barkley playing as well.
Yeah,
he's been their best player by a million miles as well. He's looked like Ross Barkley who burst onto the scene for Everton.
Yeah,
he's just so good. Like, he's going to get a lot of options in the summer, providing he'll keep up that fitness as well.
United won him, on a free.
I mean, Man United can do with him. They're bloody crap. Yeah.
So, as for prediction, I can't predict us to lose. It honestly depends. I mean, let's say we get done six, we could come out like a wounded animal and put five past them. Like, Sheffield United scored three there, pretty comfortably as well. Like, the worst team in the league and the worst team in the Prem scene since Derby managed to score three goals there, and with very little in return. So, I don't know. I can't say skip a clean sheet either. That'll be a set piece. 2-1 Forest. 2-1 Forest, just like it was when Graben scored there. That time, he's grabbing Lamiobe, getting back for the game. Why not?
Matt, what's your overall like feeling towards? Are you going, by the way? Or
no, I'm not. No, I'm having to work. So, but I'll watch it. We won't discuss. But yeah, I'll watch. I completely agree with what Christian said. I'd play Sangare. I'd have the partnership of the sense about partnership being Bolly and Murillo. And I would have Tyro up front because I think there's two, you're going to have to win. If we're going to get a result, we need to win on two fronts. We need to obviously have the clinical edge and also have the ability to battle. And I think a large amount of that battling is going to be with us being physical. And I think Sangare gives us that in the middle of the park, being quite a big bloke. And I think Tyro obviously gives us that up top. And I would have Wood on the bench, obviously, as an outlet to bring on as the game goes on, Tyro. Ties. I think what's really interesting about Luton is, and on this might be maybe me clutching at straws a little bit, but I think them as a home crowd, they will obviously target Saturday, and rightfully so, as a game to get a result from. Now, the last time Luton had that weight of expectancy, and Christine just obviously mentioned that, the last time they had that weight of expectancy was their home game against Sheffield United. Because I can guarantee you they would have rolled up to that thinking, home banker will beat these are absolutely poor. And they got turned over, was it 3-1?
Yeah.
So I think that might, hopefully that might kind of play for us a little bit, that there is such a big expectancy home crowd. I think Luton have gone in, I've watched a lot of Luton on the telly this season, obviously because it's been relevant to us. And I think a lot in all of Luton's games, they've been such mass underdogs. And I think they've played to that, and that's been to their credit. And they've been in a lot of games because of it. on Saturday, they're not such mass underdogs. And I do wonder whether that might work for us. I think it'd be a tight game. I'm not sure there's going to be that many goals. Forest are going to have to defend set pieces, which I'm not holding my breath, given everything that's been discussed in this opening hour. But if they do the basics right, and they let their technical ability show and they can battle, I don't see any reason why they can't go to Kenilworth Road and win on Saturday. I don't think that's beyond the realms of impossibility. So I'm going to say, same as Christian, 2-1 Forest.
Yeah, I mean, you've took the words right out of my mouth, Matt. I said this actually leading up to the game at Sheffield United. I said Sheffield United will get something against that in that game, because I think, like you say, Luton fans will be, I think they were favourites for that game, weirdly enough. It was the first time they've been favourites for a game. And I think you're right, their crowd probably thought, well, we've played Sheffield United, we should beat them because they're rubbish. And they didn't. And I think a lot of the teams that have gone to Kenilworth Road and where Luton have gone as well this season are teams where they might not play very, very often. Same when we go there, they're going to go, well, we've played these loads of times. Like, we've beaten Forest, so we should beat them because they're being rubbish. And I do completely agree with you. That mindset will slightly switch. We'll know our fate on Friday, hopefully. We'll know whether we've got deduction or not. So that might play into a, right, let's get after the rest of this league. 10 games to go, 10 cup finals now to try and turn our season around in some capacity. I think we might actually go and take some chances on Saturday and maybe get a surprising win. I'm actually going to go a bit bold and go 4-1. I'm being serious. I just feel like it might all kind of fall into place. I think we capitalise on maybe a mistake. I mean, I saw Mateta miss one yesterday where he got the ball. There was a short back pass given to him, and he should have scored, really. And they had so many chances. I just feel like something might click for us. We might actually take a few and really like shove it down their throats a little bit, to be honest. I can't come on here and be negative, right? I don't have it in me.
I actually watched Palace Luton on Saturday, obviously because it was relevant to us. I think Crystal Palace are quite fortunate this season that there's a lot of teams, obviously the Sheffield United and Burnley being the way they are, obviously Luton and Italy would be plucky, and that's to their credit, but still in a pretty perilous position, and there's us in Everton. I watched Palace v Luton on Saturday, and it was a pretty horrendous game of football. I mean, Palace admittedly should have been out of sight, but that's not for one second thinking or saying that Palace were particularly great. I think they've got two games now. They've obviously got Luton away and Palace at home. I think they need 4 points as a minimum. Six isn't beyond the realms of possibility, and I could see Forest doing that. But I think Saturday's more of a, and you boys might completely agree with this, I think it's more of a must not lose rather than a must win. Because I think if they do beat us, I think we just completely hand them the initiative. A win is obviously much more preferable and something which we should definitely be aiming for. I'm not putting the bar low, but I just think on Saturday, if it gets to a stage in the game where we can't win it, just pivot to make sure we don't lose it. And then I think I'm reasonably confident they can beat Crystal Palace at Nottingham after the international break.
I think it depends on the deduction. If we get away with it relatively, like let's say it's a 3-point deduction, then yes, I agree, must not lose. If we get, say, six or God forbid more, then we need to be winning that game, basically. Yeah. But because that will give us rip a huge chunk out from the get-go. So, but yeah, I do see a point. I think in normal circumstances, yeah, must not lose. Because if we left with a point, then they're still like, all right, we're 4 behinds, assuming they don't win in midweek, which they might do, or 3 behind, sorry. And it's like, right, okay, are we going to close that gap? So, yeah, I just in normal circumstances, I fully agree, but it entirely depends on what the courts say, basically.
Yeah. Peaches in the comments has actually just made a good point. Sheffield United gave them the ball and they didn't know what to do with it, and they only had 25% possession. So,
to be fair, that happened in the car. Bolton gave them a good go by doing something similar, just like sitting off them, and they didn't really know what to do. A bit like us last season. No,
I don't want to give Ross Barkley any of the ball, to be honest. I just think he's a very good player when he's on it. So, yeah, but it's going to be a tight game. I mean, I personally don't think it. I think just something, got something in my loins that something good will happen. But We'll see. Anyway, that will conclude our reaction to the Brighton debacle and everything else with it. Matt, thank you as ever for joining us. I'm sure we'll see you again in the season. Hopefully we'll do a preview of some sort with a Luton fan or some other fans. But for now, take care. Have a good rest of your week. And until then, come on, you Reds.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.